Hello and welcome to the Ordinary Church Podcast. This is a podcast about the church and for the church. I'm Connor and Mike is not in the room right now, so I'm excited to introduce a special guest, and that is Brian Bush. Brian is one of the pastors at Grace, also has been an elder for longer even than he's been on the pastoral staff. Hello, Brian. Good morning.
Good morning, Connor. You must excite very easily.
I don't think that's necessarily true, but
must be the Christmas season.
It is a Christmas season, and I'm excited to be able to have this conversation. Listeners, when this drops, I think it'll just be a handful of weeks away from Christmas. So what Brian and I want to talk about on the podcast today is kind of the theme of Christmas traditions and just have a conversation, which definitely has been had, but we're going to have it again and kind of see what comes to the surface. Thinking about Christmas traditions, how can that be a blessing in your family? Are there any things to look out for when it comes to how families observe traditions kind of going into the holiday season and Christmas time? So that's kind of where we're going today. And we'll just kind of see where the conversation leads. So Brian, can I ask, does your family observe Christmas?
We have observed Christmas for almost 34 years now. This will be the 34th year Tina and I have celebrated Christmas, and then we've continued to celebrate with each one of our children. So yes, we do.
Yes, you do. Okay, I'm sure that you're definitely going to be in the majority group there in terms of everyone listening. I think we could probably safely assume that almost all of the people listening to this are excited about Christmas coming in a few weeks. This is almost more just fun than anything, but just thinking about the theme of Christmas traditions, as you think back to your childhood, is there anything that especially comes to mind either in your family or the church you grew up in, different traditions that you'd say, yeah, like this was part of what Christmas looked like for me?
Yeah. One of the traditions that I had growing up that we've carried on is Christmas morning is reading the gospel account, the Luke account of the birth of Christ. Occasionally we'll mix in the Matthew account, but pretty traditionally it's we read the story of the birth of Christ from Luke chapter 2. When our children were younger, they would all come piling into bed with Tina and I and sit on the bed before anyone went downstairs to look at Christmas lights or open presents or stockings or anything, and we made a tradition of reading the gospel story together from Luke 2. That started when I was a child and then continued on with our children. That, of course, has changed now that I've got a couple of married children, and they don't come over at first thing in the morning to sit on our bed.
Way. Yeah, probably, yeah, that's probably a good thing.
So we had to change that. But we do still read Luke 2 before we get into, opening presents and turning on football games or Christmas parades or anything else. Yeah. We start the day with the birth of Christ right out of Scripture.
Yeah, I love that. How about on the church side of things? Do you have any recollections, or you could speak to Grace Orange as well, or other churches you've been at? But can you think of traditions that you would associate more with a kind of church community rather than an individual family? I'm kind of trying to think too. At Grace, if there's anything that would come to mind.
Well, a few years ago, we started the Christmas Eve service here at Grace. Mm-hmm. I think that came out of not having done that and a lot of people wanting to go to Christmas Eve service, probably because that was a tradition that they had grown up with or had observed, and we didn't do that. And a number of us were asked, well, do you know a good church, a good church that actually does Christmas Eve service? And we started saying, well, why don't we do one?
Yeah.
So we've done that last half dozen or so years.
So yeah, I grew up doing the Christmas Eve service with the candles after, and we'd walk outside of the parking lot and sing a few carols with the candles. So that tradition definitely, probably like for most people, it feels very natural to me to have a service on Christmas Eve, and I think a lot of people probably would say the same from how they grew up. Let's do this, Brian. Obviously, plenty of ways that we could take this conversation. I feel like a lot of times, and I don't know if you would agree with this or disagree, but I feel like sometimes, even though everyone loves more or less, you know, their Christmas traditions. And maybe you have some things you go, oh yeah, we still have this kind of a golden calf in our family or something. But it seems like sometimes when believers start to actually talk about it, it can quickly trend in a negative direction in the sense that, oh, these traditions just distract us from, you know, quote unquote, what really matters. And there's probably legitimacy in that, definitely. But maybe we could start on the positive side. You know, when you think about the ways that traditions have kind of guided your family or church, you know, church kind of in the Christmas season, what are the positives of that in your mind?
I think for us, one of the things that have been very, very meaningful is the celebration of Advent. We do the 4 Sundays before Christmas.
Okay.
And then the getting out the nativity scene. Now, I've been absolutely blessed as a family. My grandparents gave to my parents a nativity scene the very first Christmas that they were married. That was back in 1961.
Wow.
When Tina and I were married in 1990, my parents gave us that nativity set. Made in Italy.
Wow.
So, you know, all of the Italians here will be very excited yeah. about that. My wife is half Italian, so you know that was kind of a special thing when we found out that it was made in Italy.
That's awesome.
And so we've been using this very same nativity set for 60-ish years.
That's amazing.
And I'm looking forward to passing it on to one of my children yeah. one day. And that this is kind of a family heirloom, and we get it out, and it's old, and you can tell that it's old and antique, but it's still something very, very precious, and we look at that often, and we... sometimes we'll move the wise men to the other side of the room. You know, they're not there yet. And sometimes it's got to be right there on the same
yeah.
location where the stable is. But that's been fun to think about, and that's really helped me to focus on Christmas and really the wonder, the awe of the incarnation, and to think about how the incarnate God, the eternal God, Christ in heaven, leaving heaven and Word became flesh and dwelt among us with the purpose of being our substitute on the cross through absorbing the wrath of God against sin is a thought, is a contemplation that blows me away. And looking at, you know, the nativity scene and thinking about that at Christmas, the hope that we have in the Savior has been really, really fun. But not all of the kids are as excited about the Advent tradition. We use a booklet that my dad helped put together back in the 70s. And so when you've been reading the same 3 or 4 lines in the story every year for 30-plus years, it can get a little rote. Get a little
maybe.
Stale.
Yeah.
The neighbor's fruitcake, you know, it can be a little hard to get through. So that's a tradition that can, and I recognize can, have the potential to distract from the awe and the wonder of Christmas. It can be something that, oh, we have to get this done, and we didn't do it on Sunday night. Oh, no, we're behind, and kind of a panic sets in, and we that can become a tradition to do just for the sake of doing it, and it doesn't carry the meaning that it did the first couple of years.
Is it a kind of a reading every day, or is it weekly on Sundays that there's that reading?
The one that we started when I was a child back in the 70s was a weekly.
Okay.
And it had a scripture.
Yeah.
I had kind of a statement about what was the focus of the day, with its hope, joy, peace, you know, love.
Yeah.
And we did read a scripture, we did a little statement, sang a couple of songs, and it was kind of a simple little thing just to get us refocused on Christmas. But when you've done that for 50 years, it's the same scripture, and it's the same songs, and it's the same little statement, and it can be dry. And I want to mix it up a bit, so we try and keep it a little fresh. And still do it because it's a good tradition, but I'm here to recognize that can be a tough tradition just to keep up for the sake of tradition.
Yeah, I feel like you're making a point that applies pretty broadly, probably, that traditions they can be good in the sense that there's a consistency And if something is a good tool, you know, like this Advent kind of guide that your dad put together, that can be a blessing to have the consistency of that year after year. But there's also almost always the danger of it becoming more rote, right? So I could think of, this is a, maybe a little bit of a different category, but on the church side, you know, different strands of the Christian church have these very robust traditions, right, that kind of lead the church up to either Christmas Day or I think in some fellowships after. I don't know exactly, you know, but if you were in the Anglican church or something like that, you'd have a much more structured kind of ramp up to Christmas, for example. But I could very easily, I could just imagine, you know, that for some child growing up in a family in the Anglican church, that could just be entirely rote. And for somebody else, it might be very rich and meaningful. And, you know, so I don't know. It's just interesting to think about the benefit, but also the danger of it kind of becoming rote.
I'm reminded of the Fiddler on the Roof. And Tevye talks about tradition. Just before he breaks into the song Tradition, he talks about why do we have tradition? So that every man may know who he is and what God expects of him. What a great line.
Hmm.
But then I also remember the scripture that talks about how the Pharisees put the traditions of man above the word of God.
Yeah.
And so traditions can be really meaningful so that you know who you are in Christ and what God expects of you. You know, it's great.
Hmm.
But if you then exalt your practice of that tradition above the actual word of God, then that's an utter failure.
Yeah, man, that's a great line. I'm going to say this on record here on the podcast because we've joked about it so many times, Brian, that I've never seen Fiddler on the Roof. And somebody, these are the only kinds of comments that ever get me any feedback from the podcast. Someone on Sunday is going to come up to me and say, you haven't seen Fiddler on the Roof? Never anything else. You know, that's the only kind of thing that gets these comments coming back to us.
But, well, maybe this year.
maybe this year. There you go. Maybe this year. Maybe by the time I talk to you, I will have seen it. So there you go, listener. Brian, what about a kind of different category of tradition? So we've talked about the nativity, the scripture reading on Sunday or on Christmas morning from Luke 2 or other passages, the Advent, you know, approaching Christmas for those preceding Sundays. What about traditions that have maybe a more distant, you know, relationship with the idea of kind of turning your attention to the Lord, to the coming of the Word of God made flesh? I'm thinking of, you know, presents. I'm thinking, I mean, we could all fill in the blank, but how have you thought about those in your family? And where do you see, we'll start on the positive side again, where do you see the positives, you know, in some of those kind of other traditions that just characterize the holiday season and Christmas?
Haven't thought about it much. I do have an orange tree in the backyard. We planted that, well, maybe 15, 20 years ago. So a tradition has developed that everyone gets an orange from the orange tree in their stocking.
That is awesome.
And
I love that tradition.
And I think getting up Christmas morning, pull that orange out, cut it up, and fresh squeezed orange juice, or just have that fresh orange. And I don't know what variety. I think it's a Valencia. It's really, really juicy.
Man.
You know, the kind of juicy that gets all over you. And you know, got to clean yourself afterwards because it's just so sweet and juicy. But not everyone enjoys that as much as I do.
I think that's awesome.
We've had Christmas pajamas for a number of years. Tina would buy each of us a Christmas pajamas that would be matching or at least coordinated.
Mm-hmm.
And we would open those Christmas Eve.
Oh, there
you
go.
So that we could wear them that night.
Good
and
call. Yeah.
Wake up Christmas morning all in our matching Christmas pajamas.
Yeah.
Not that we would take pictures of everyone in their pajamas, but it was just kind of to be around in our coordinated pajamas. And that's a tradition I think that maybe others in the family find more exciting and compelling than myself.
Yeah. Yeah. These are good examples. Just with the orange, you know, my grandma always used to tell us that was all she got for Christmas every year, you know, one orange, and it was a big deal. And I remember that would always, kind of put a little perspective, I think, you know, inject some perspective to us kids who were like unwrapping our seventh, you know, thing. Like, oh, wow. And my grandpa, he had one red truck. That was his one toy, you know, growing up on a farm in Minnesota for his entire childhood, one red truck. So there's some interesting perspective, you know, from the not too distant past. How about, because I think that, you know, we could probably maybe, you know, just say, things like, you know, presents, certain aspects of decorating, maybe certain dishes that are made or desserts, different family gatherings. There's all kinds of patterns that we have in our families, you know, and a lot, I think a lot of them are good and a blessing in the general sense that, you know, Christmas is a time where families come together. I think that most of us would say that's a blessing. Christmas is, of course, a challenging time for some people as well. Christmas is a time where gifts are given and there is joy in that. And so there's positives, but maybe, and we've already kind of touched it, but can you speak to what you see as some of the things to look out for? Or you could even say the negatives, you know, the things to look out for when it comes to these traditions.
I think we've touched on probably the most important one is that the tradition becomes the thing worshipped rather than what it's pointing to.
Yeah.
Another thing I would say is just be sensitive to people. Not everyone has a warm, encouraging, loving family life. And maybe they're estranged from family. Mm. And Christmas and the talk about how important family is at Christmas can be discouraging, can be hard when everyone's talking about, oh, I'm going to be with family and family is so important at Christmas and I don't have a family or yeah. I am estranged from my family.
Right. Lost somebody. Yeah.
Lost.
And that's bringing that to mind. Yeah. Yeah.
Particularly in that first year. Hmm. This is our first Christmas without,
right.
You know,
yeah.
a spouse, without a parent, without a child.
Mm-hmm.
It can be hard when we focus on the Christmas family tie-in.
That's a great point.
Hard for me to say this, but you know, Christmas is not about family. Christmas is about the incarnation, and that we've been adopted into a new family. Mm. That's exciting.
Yeah.
But we often make it about family because of meals together, because of giving and exchanging presents, because of the traditions that typically get passed down generation to generation within a family. Just want to be encouraging to those who may find this Christmas season to be hard for one reason or another. It's not about family. It's not about your circumstance. It's about the wonder, the hope that a Savior has come that will alleviate that imprisonment to sin, that God's wrath against sin has been poured out on this Savior that has come, and that we have hope in a life eternal. We have hope in being with Christ our Lord forever because he was born at Christmas. Mm. Whenever that birth date might be.
Right, right.
The fact that Christmas celebrates the incarnation, the coming of Christ.
Yeah, yeah. Praise God and amen. I have maybe just a handful more questions that we could kind of bounce back and forth. And you can, if you have anything too, just bring it to the table. But I was going to ask, I feel like for some reason, Brian, you might have thoughts about this. Once upon a time, Christmas really did occupy the 25th of December. You know, people kind of lived their life, you know, with maybe a little Christmas present shopping or whatever up till that day. And then there was a day, you know, and you had a day maybe to be with family or whatever. It feels like increasingly Christmas has become a season, you know, that stretches from one day to maybe a handful of days, a weekend, a week, a month. You know, it can kind of dominate a lot of this time of the year. Do you have thoughts about this? Do you see it as a negative thing? Do you think it could be a good thing? And I'm not angling for anything. I really don't know even what I think.
Christmas year round in the heart and in our meditation is not a bad thing.
Okay.
All right. To remember Christ born, the incarnation.
Uh-huh.
You know, whenever we celebrate bread and cup, we repeat often, do this in remembrance of me, to remember Christ's birth, his life, his sacrifice, his return is good. But yeah, Christmas is a day. We celebrate the birth of Christ, and then he wasn't born again the next day.
Yeah.
And the next day.
Yeah.
And the next day. I'm good with, you know, preparing for, getting excited about, building up to Christmas Day, and then you celebrate. And the next day is another day.
Another day, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of families, you know, it feels like there's a hope to be able to just celebrate with different kind of slices of the family. So that's our, I guess I'm sympathetic, you know, or I do it myself. It's like, you know, the day, Christmas Eve, we have this and that gathering. Christmas Day is this. The day after Christmas is this other part of the family. You know, I don't know. Is that, I kind of have always felt like, I guess that's just kind of the lay of the land, but it is a little taxing.
It's not a theological issue.
It's not. Yeah. Yeah. It's,
you know, I get it. You know, as our kids are getting married and having children and have in-laws to deal with, we deal with that. And I know a lot of families deal with, you know, wanting their family with them on Christmas Day, but they've got two families.
Yeah.
And so you roll with it. You celebrate Christmas Eve with one side and Christmas Day, the other, or Christmas Day and then the day after.
Yeah.
And in our mobile society, that's happening more and more frequently. Hmm. You talk about your grandparents growing up on a farm in Minnesota. Well, you didn't extend Christmas celebrations because the cows needed to be milked and the hay needed to come in and there were chores to do. And if you took Christmas Day off to celebrate, you couldn't take two, three,
that
4 days.
That day alone would have been a huge deal. Yeah, to take it. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
You know, you prepared for, you celebrated, and then you moved on and start preparing for the next thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's really a great point. Yeah. There's kind of a freedom in the mobility to do things that in a different setting just wouldn't do, you know? So, yeah.
So for our time and culture, we celebrate how we celebrate.
Yeah. That's helpful. Really good. I haven't looked into this and I don't know if you have, but any thoughts just quickly on, I don't think that this is, you know, probably going to be hitting a lot of people in the heart necessarily, but you just run across people who say Christmas was a pagan holiday, you know, and it's been kind of co-opted, but Christians really should just know about that and kind of be wary. Any thoughts about that?
So what?
Love it. Okay. Well, we can just move on.
I'm saying, you know, not to put anyone down who's concerned about that. And I don't want to make light of the fact that there are culturally antagonistic ideas that float out there that invade our Christian faith. Hmm. We see that with the rainbow currently.
Hmm. Right.
Does that mean we should no longer celebrate the rainbow in God's promise never to destroy the world by flood again, just because it's been co-opted by anti-religious, anti-Christian, anti-God culture? I would say, maybe not.
Yeah.
So maybe Christmas was a conglomeration of some pagan celebrations at the winter solstice, and we now have, you know, evergreen Christmas trees and St. Nicholas celebrations. But for the believer, can you sort through that and just say, and Christmas is a time to celebrate the incarnation of Christ.
Yeah.
And culture has attached a lot of other things to it, some of which are fun, some of which ought to be looked at for the danger that they could
suspiciously
bring.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to stop celebrating Christmas because there's some tie-in to some Germanic pagan holiday.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I've heard some, Tanner's in the room too. We probably all heard, you know, there's like people will reference different passages in Jeremiah, you know, about, they're like, look at Jeremiah 10. It's talking about a Christmas tree and how it's decked. It's just ridiculous. So anyways, you know, there you go. There's your 2 cents of useless, you know, commentary on the podcast today.
Worth even less than that.
What's that? Yeah.
Even it's worth even less than that.
Worth even less. Thank you. Anything else on your mind, just on this kind of general theme? Anything else or different, any passages that you'd want to point us to before we kind of start to draw this toward a close?
No, I'd ask you, what kind of traditions have you guys celebrated that have been, one, helpful to bring you closer to celebrating the true meaning of Christmas? And maybe what's been a distraction?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll answer maybe on the positive side. I feel like one thing that my parents have done with our family and did growing up and we continue to do, which I've appreciated, is in kind of under the umbrella of giving gifts, you know, they've chosen to do kind of a family, it's funny, it's almost, we almost do it like a draft, like it's kind of a fun, but it's an opportunity for our family to choose to do certain gifts through different ministry groups. So I've appreciated that. I think it's done something, you know, and I don't know, it could become a very self-oriented kind of, you know, me, materialistic thing for kids with presents and all that. So I don't know. There were, you know, when there were Christmases where the focus was kind of on, hey, we're, you know, whatever would have been, you know, primarily for presents, it was going in this other direction. I think that was something that, you know, was helpful, continues to be something my family does. We've done various kinds of approaches to Christmas in terms of Advent readings and that kind of thing, but I've always appreciated that. I've appreciated that, and you mentioned Luke too. My dad has usually, at some stage in the, you know, kind of day or days around Christmas, has read that, and sometimes it's been with unbelieving family members around. So I always, you know, appreciate that when it's like, okay, it's Christmas, I'd like to, you know, read the story of Jesus being born, and there's my uncle who doesn't know the Lord and is hearing Luke 2, you know, so I appreciate that for sure. You have a smile on your face. I'm curious if there's anything there for you.
Yeah, we've done similar things.
Yeah.
A thought just occurred to me, how joyful is Christmas morning, Christmas day for you?
For me?
Yeah.
Personally?
You who've been up later at night probably, taking all the presents that have been hidden and putting them somewhere, and then having to get kids ready to go to grandparents for celebrate Christmas, or get up early on, right? Your kids are still pretty young, so I don't know how early they're getting up on Christmas, but.
Yeah, they're not, I mean, they're not, you know, our kids aren't bursting into our room, you know, at 5 a.m. It's Christmas morning, you know.
Tanner's laughing because his are. His kids are the age.
Yeah, it changes definitely, right, when you have kids. So I'm not quite at that tipping point yet, I don't think, where it's, you know, entirely the swarm on the part of my kids, you know, just come and get Christmas going. But yeah, it's not that, I mean, the magic becomes different, right, from on this side of the equation, you know, because you're kind of the one providing the joy in a lot of ways. So, but that's that, it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? So
that's what it says.
Yeah.
I just wondered, children are in awe of Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, even Isla, I'm sure at this point, sees the Christmas trees and the decorations.
Loves it, yeah.
Wouldn't it be amazing if we, as adults who are filled with the stresses and strains of life and the busyness of life and getting ready to celebrate Christmas, and we collapse afterwards because we've worked so hard to make it a day special for everyone, if we just celebrated Christmas like a child, with that childlike wonder and awe and huge eyes and celebration and joy.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's almost part of what you really can't recapture. I think that's why Jesus says, you know, you have to have faith like a child. It's like, you know, you want that as an adult, right? Just that simple, at least toward the Lord, with that trust like a child has. Yeah, but I think part of as an adult, what you love about Christmas is you process it through the eyes of the kids, you know, and you see their joy, and that's one of the most special things.
So my encouragement to our listeners would just be to celebrate Christmas this year with the eyes of a child.
That's great.
Remember how exciting it is, and how joyful it is, and how hopeful it is, and how amazing it is when a child sees Christmas and they're utterly beside themselves with amazement and joy and excitement. We can have that beside adulthood. We can do that if we choose to, and we meditate on that. We just make the effort to worship the Creator, worship Christ, and be amazed at what he did at Christmas.
I think that's a great place to end. Praise God. Yeah. Listeners, that might have been worth more than 2 cents just by a hair. So, hey, thank you for joining us. Brian, super nice to have you on the podcast. So thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah. And, you know, we even mentioned Italy. You know, Mike's not even here, and we mentioned Italy, so I feel like that was, you know, he'll be proud of us for that. I should also mention, because Mike would mention it, and I just see it on the shelf, Jonathan Gibson has some, Advent's probably not the right word, but some devotionals. Is devotional the right word? What am I looking for? They're like readings. It's a book. Crossway's published, you know, a few of them. One is just a general, I think it's called Be Thou My Vision, and it's like a month's worth of devotions and readings, kind of selections of different passages and kind of quotes from different, you know, church figures and stuff. And one of them is kind of a road up to Christmas. So
right. We've started using that too, and I'd highly recommend it.
Yeah, so that's something that, you know, maybe something that your family could look into. Some, I think, already have them. Mike is giving some away and that kind of thing. But anyways, I think I'll leave it there. Brian, thanks for being with us. Listeners, we're thankful for you. If you're at Grace, we love you and know you and are praying for you throughout the week, and hope that these weeks as Christmas approaches are just a time that is rich for your family and rich for you as you're turning your attention to the Lord and His coming. So until next time on the podcast, God bless you and have a great day.